Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. I'm your host, Dayton Rumbold, and you're listening to episode 128, The Unexpected Career, Stories from CDL School. They say that every expert was once a beginner. This is true for Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and it rings true for trucking. Join Jeff King, Brendan Nussbaum, and Jared Fair as we discuss the origins of the Nussbaum Trucking Academy, answer your top questions, and tell stories on the road to becoming a truck driver. Ready to start your journey? Tune in to today's featured exchange. Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange. We're here with Jeff, Brendan, and Jared, talking about the Nussbaum Trucking Academy. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
This is quite the trio, and I heard you guys work together quite a bit. And this is episode 128. So we're also, we've had a couple episodes before. Jeff, you've been on the podcast. You're not unfamiliar with this.
Nope.
So how'd that go last time with Sage?
Pretty good. A little intimidating.
Yeah. Okay. Well, glad you were decided to come back. And we thought this would be a good topic because there are a lot of people looking for career changes, people that work their whole lives in, let's say, insurance, or they are doing medicine, and now they want to do a different career, a whole different field, and they want to become a truck driver. So how do you become a truck driver? What are the ways to do that? Are there scholarships? Is it hands-on training? And so these three great men are going to help us unpack what's the road to becoming a truck driver? And so, Jeff, you are a instructor, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So if you could share a little bit on your title and how did you get to Nussbaum?
Okay. I'm the lead instructor at the academy.
Mm-hmm.
The way I came to Nussbaum was I had worked at other schools and didn't like the way things were ran, so I looked to come back on the road. And a lot of people wouldn't hire me because I didn't have any recent over-the-road experience because I'd been in a school.
Mm-hmm.
Nussbaum took a chance on me.
A good chance. You've done a lot for Nussbaum.
Yes. Try.
I mean, you worked as a performance advisor, like calling people and telling them ways they can improve their performance. So performance supervisor.
Yes.
And then you were on the road, and now you're instructing.
Yes.
So
I trained for Nussbaum before,
mm-hmm.
and then performance coach, and then now all I do is the academy.
And it's been 7 years, right? About 7 years since you
started? A little over 7 years, yep.
Okay. That's great. That's a big investment. So I'm glad Nussbaum did take a chance on you. That's great. And King, so that means Jeff King, you're the king of what? What are you the king of?
Not really sure on that one.
The king of...
King of the road.
King of the road. I like that one.
Yeah, I like
King
it.
Of the road. It's got a nice ring to it. So Jared, and what about you? What's your title here? And how did you get the Nussbaum? What'd that look like?
Nussbaum, I guess I got a call from Jeremy, who way back, actually a little bit even before I started here, and so that was kind of the first I'd even heard of Nussbaum, because I lived in Peoria when I first moved to Illinois, so didn't know much about it.
Where'd you move from?
Connecticut.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So the land of lobster and
I guess
fresh fish, and now you have corn.
Yeah, it's definitely a change of scenery. But ended up here, started out in recruiting, and did that for a couple of years, and kind of very slowly did less of that, and kind of picked up other just things within HR, Certified Red, and eventually the academy, Yeah, really enjoy that. It's a ton of fun, really rewarding to see just individuals. Like, it's kind of a way that people really get a jump start into a career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not many careers that you can move that fast in
right.
if you put in the work. It's a lot of work, but.
Yeah. Like, you can be a top earner pretty quickly. Yeah, there, I mean, there is a difference between a person that's an experienced driver, like they're earning, versus a beginner driver. But very quickly, you can start to earn a good paycheck.
Yep.
That's cool. And the Certified Red, you help out with that too?
Yeah, yep. I kind of do the main, like, I guess, day-to-day or program oversight, I guess, on that. And that, yeah, they translate well. It's fun to see individuals go through the academy, start working here, some start working here, and then get involved in Certified Red, and a lot of them actually really take off in that too, which is really exciting to see.
Yeah, that's cool. And I like what you said too, that some of them work here, some of them may not, and that's part of what this academy is. So it's the Heartland Academy, and so it's partnered with Nussbaum Transportation. So people that go to the academy don't have to end up at Nussbaum. It's just helping you get your CDL. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's correct. Yeah. There's no transit test or anything like that. A person can go anywhere they want as far as that goes.
Which is great. And I think for this, we'll just share, here's how you can get your CDL. And maybe you don't have a school, like you can't go to the Heartland. We'll help you try to find another school where you can get your CDL, because we're all in the trucking industry and we think that there's a lot that freight can do for the world. 70% of the supplies you see in the world come by freight through trucking.
Yeah.
And so this is a big thing, and so want to help out with that. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Jared. And Brendan, so we know you have a connection, right, with Nussbaum.
Or a little bit.
Never heard of Nussbaum.
Right.
When did you first hear about Nussbaum?
Right. Yep. So if you could help us understand your background getting the Nussbaum, also what other paths did you have before you got here? So
there were a few of them.
Yeah, you went down some other paths and then you got here. So what would that look like?
Yeah, yep. So I'll give you the shortened version of it, but coming out of high school, I really had no direction on what I wanted to do. And earlier on, I really didn't have a ton of interest in the trucking company. I mean, I enjoyed coming out here to work and being around the trucks, but I just didn't see myself as necessarily being here, you know, making a career out of it or anything like that. And but I didn't know a whole lot back then too, and I was just kind of doing my own thing. So I, out of high school, I went over and worked at Central Illinois Trucks for about 2 years or so. I was actually detailing semi trucks and doing oil changes on them, grease jobs, stuff like that, working back in their medium duty. And then I started working for as an electrician here in town for an electrical company. And so I worked on the residential side of things, did apartments and houses, wiring them, trimming them out, and so forth. And I did that for about a year and a half. I enjoyed it at first, but then I didn't. I started to kind of lose heart in it and wasn't sure if it was something I wanted to pursue. So then 2009 hit. That's kind of when the housing market crashed. I was the lowest man on the totem pole and actually got laid off.
Oh, wow.
So at that time, I had actually moved out to a small town and had taken a lot of interest in, I'd always had an interest in like firefighting and paramedic work. So I spent a few years chasing that, became an EMT, worked on my paramedic, so that I could get on full time as a firefighter somewhere. My goal was to hopefully get on Bloomington or Normal. Again, long story short, the doors got closed on that, and that was not where I was supposed to be. I went back to school thinking that maybe I'd pursue nursing. Really enjoyed the hospital side of things. I thought that was fun. And was able to just be a help there, but just never really had a peace about it. So fast forward to 2012, I was kind of had come to an end of a road. I was like, what in the world am I supposed to do with my life? I'm not sure. And Dad and I were talking about some things and just life. And there was a position for a driver manager that had popped up. And he had asked if, you know, I'd be interested in applying for it. He was just making me aware of it. And I was like, wait a second, this is a complete 180 from, you know, what I was doing before. I hadn't given it any thought at all, coming back to the company. And so I thought on it, prayed on it for a few days, and I just felt like this nudge, like just needed to take a leap of faith. And the rest is history after that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been here for working on 13 years now.
Wow.
In the office. So
from driver manager, what was the next jump?
Yep. So I did, I was driver manager, then I worked on load planning. Hmm. Then I was moved over to dedicated account manager. And then my last role in operations was dedicated accounts manager. Okay. So I helped oversee all the dedicated account side of things. And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the, you get to deal with the drivers and you get to plan loads. You get to work with the customer. So just kind of a nice mix of different things.
Yeah.
All in one.
Yeah. So. Pretty fast paced. And then from that, you jumped to the HR side of things.
Yep.
And culture, engagement, administrative work, working with the academy is a lot of what you do now.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been on the HR side of things now, I think about 4-ish years, give or take, and it's developed into Director of Culture and Development. So I help oversee our training programs and the road captains, the NTA Academy, and then I still do some wear some hats on the HR side of things as far as improvement plans with drivers and so forth. And
it's awesome.
And all that.
Yeah, really advocating for the driver, trying to make sure that the driver really improves. Like when you become a truck driver, a lot of the time that your schooling's done, you've done your CDL, there's nothing else. So a really great thing is with the certified red, and you got that bling bling ring, right, Jeff? Yes. You can show that off. So you're certified red.
Yes.
What is certified red? What does that mean?
It's just extra training for the drivers to be more efficient at their job, safer at their job. And it's in tiers, it just different levels that you can grow to.
It's awesome.
It just helps the drivers be safer and more efficient.
Yeah, and every 100,000 miles, there's another ring or another diamond that gets added on. So by the time you get that, we have a couple of drivers approaching 1 million safe miles.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close.
That's crazy.
It is.
1 million safe miles. So I think they run out of room on their rings for another diamond, but there'll be something else. So that's pretty cool that you got yours too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So since this is all about school, about academy, I thought an icebreaker question that would be good was, if you could go back to school for anything, what would it be? Does not have to be trucking, anything in the world, to be a chef, to be a pilot. If you could do anything, what would you want to do? And you don't have to have the skills to do this thing either. Like if you wanted to go back to school to be a doctor and like it's all paid for, you don't have any of the knowledge, like just everything just automatically happens. Go back to school for anything.
That's a tough call.
That's easy for me.
What would you say?
I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
nice. But always as a...
That was always my passion.
Growing up.
And life happens. It just didn't...
Sure.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'd go back and be the best veterinarian that you could possibly be.
Yep.
Okay. And dogs, horses...
Anything.
Goats.
Yep.
Do it all.
Yep.
There you go. That'd be cool. I can see that. Dr. King, your next patient is in. Do you have any animals yourself?
Yes.
Animals?
We have 3 dogs, 5 cats.
3 dogs, 5 cats?
And 3 alpacas.
What? Alpaca? Oh, man. I haven't heard that one before. So, so the alpacas, are those like emotional support? What does an alpaca do? Can you milk an alpaca? What?
The wool.
The wool.
It's
shear the wool.
Worth a lot more than sheep's wool.
Oh, really?
It's a better product.
Yeah.
It's
that's fun.
Kind of a hobby.
That's really nice. And do you shear them? And
Not personally.
Not personally. Said, it's not my job.
Yeah.
That's really cool. 3 alpacas.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I did not know that.
If I had to go back to school, I would probably go back to become a pilot.
Oh, man.
I've got a big fascination for aviation.
Yeah.
I've never flown a plane, but I would love the opportunity to try it someday. And I just think it's really neat.
Yeah.
The aviation world. So.
Yeah. Certainly would be convenient if you were a pilot. You could just fly yourself. If you own a plane, then you could just be like, all right, I'm going to go to Indianapolis for dinner.
Yeah, right, right.
You know,
I always, when I was growing up, I always had this fascination with fighter jets, and I thought it'd be fun to go be a fighter pilot someday. Obviously, that wasn't the plan, but
yeah, you can make it happen. You still have, you have your CDL.
Got my CDL. Yep.
So just one more step, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. From land to the sky.
Yep, that's right.
I could see it. So, don't count yourself out on that yet. And then you're gonna say the same thing.
I kind of was like seesawed between like either aviation or maybe like lawyer or something.
Yeah, oh
like,
yeah, that'd be cool.
I've always been this isn't either one of those, but I've always been really fascinated with like ER doctors. Mm. I feel like their job is pretty crazy.
Oh and, yeah.
Like, I don't know that I'd ever actually want it, but
yeah,
to do it for in a second life would be kind of fun.
Yeah, give it another shot. You probably talked to some ER doctors like if you, when you were a paramedic and.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have a I've got a huge, that'd be a second pick probably if I had to go back to school again outside of a pilot, but the medical world is fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's just a really neat opportunity to, you know, help people too.
It is.
On their worst, worst day. So.
Really, yeah, really the worst day. And I never knew that either about electrical. So you did electrical, detailing, paramedic. I feel like I'm missing one, but... Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's quite a variety of skills and stuff to have in your belt. So that's great. So since this is also about school, pop quiz here. What is the world's largest truck stop? Do you know the world's largest truck stop in the United States? Let's say that. It's in the United States.
I know what they claim. Iowa 80 truck stop.
Yeah.
Walcott, Iowa.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. That's Iowa 80. The world's largest truck stop, which, from what I found, is the world's largest truck stop.
You said from what they claim. What's the biggest one?
Yeah, what's the biggest one?
There used to be one a lot bigger than that.
Really?
In Gallup, New Mexico. It was called Little Giant. They actually had their own refinery behind the truck stop. It was so large that when you pulled in, you got on your radio, and you called up to the office, and they sent a golf cart out to pick you up and take you
no.
up to the main building. It had theater... barbershop, clothing stores, grocery store, everything.
It had its own theater?
Yes.
That's wild.
That is so cool.
In New Mexico.
Yeah, Gallup, New Mexico.
Huh. That's interesting.
And it closed down. It's no longer around.
It's a pilot truck stop, and they've downsized it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. That's cool. I wish we still had that. That would be a great place to visit. And they have to bring a golf cart out to get you. It's so big that you can't even walk there.
Yeah, that's neat.
I love that. All right, so now that we're on the topic of school and we're talking about this Heartland Academy that was started, when was the school started and how did it get started?
Yeah.
What were some of the original thoughts behind that?
Good question. So back to take it back to 2021.
Sure.
Heartland had reached out to Jeremy and had talked about what it would look like to get a partnership together. They felt like they needed to bring someone experienced in to help just continue on the program and further it, maybe expand it a little bit more. And so through their talks, we decided that it would be a good opportunity for us as NewsBomb too to help serve and to give back to the community as well and help kind of bring this thing full circle, right? We did the trucking side of things, but let's help invest in getting people into the industry as well and provide an exceptional training program better than anywhere else that they're going to get and bring on some great instructors to help out and be a part of all that. So it's been fun. So October 2021 was our first class.
Wow.
And we had, let's see, we had one truck at the time. It was a manual truck that Heartland had rented out from Ryder up the road here. It was manual truck, and they were we were able to have four students. Was it four? Four students in that first class. And by the second month in November, we were able to bring on our own automatic truck that we still have today to add to the class.
Okay.
So we ended up turning the manual truck in November, had the automatic truck, and then we had actually purchased another manual truck that we then brought in January of 2022.
Okay.
So we were able to train for manual and automatic.
That's great. So if I was to become a student today, I would either train on And is it a Freightliner, right?
Yeah.
So Nussbaum drives Freightliner. So I'd either drive on or both, one automatic and one manual. There'd be training on both of those.
You would pick which one you wanted to, and that's what you would spend the next 3 weeks in learning how to operate. Okay.
How many people choose manual?
So I've actually got some numbers on that.
Really?
Since the beginning, we've got 166 that have gone manual.
Okay.
And 100 that have gone automatic.
So the manual outnumbers the automatic.
Yes.
By 60.
Yep.
Wow. I would say I'm surprised by that a little bit.
So. Yeah. So the one thing that Harlan had told everyone, and we encourage as well, there's still a lot of smaller trucking companies that run manual today. The industry is moving. It appears to be moving towards automatic still, but it's going to be a little while yet.
Yep.
And if you get a manual endorsement on your license, and you can drive both automatic and manual.
Right.
But if you get an automatic endorsement, you can't drive a manual truck.
It just limits you.
Correct. So more people opt to get the manual endorsement.
So you'd recommend someone that's going into trucking, aka in this situation, if I was, do manual.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Most
definitely. It opens more doors.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, more job opportunity.
All right. And just to clarify, Jared, you have your CDL too, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. How'd that go, getting your CDL?
It was good. Jeff brought me down there. And I hadn't driven a truck before. He just said, get in and go for it.
So. You hit only like one telephone pole. And that
yeah,
was
there's
it.
Just one. So, no. He showed me a lot, really. I feel like especially with skills, I had driven a decent amount on farms and stuff before, but.
Sure.
Never done like skills and the pre-trip side. So, Jeff Jackson, who at that time was more involved with the academy, helps a lot with like pre-trip, which was super helpful for me. So, yeah.
Was that the hardest thing to learn for you?
Probably, yeah. This pre-trip, it's just a lot of information that you got to get out quick and correctly. I'd say that's probably the most difficult. Parallel parking is probably close second, though.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of students don't like the parallel parking part of it, maybe.
It's intimidating for them
when
you consider they haven't driven anything bigger than their mom's little four-door. And you put them in a 75-foot-long vehicle, tell them to parallel park, and their eyes get pretty wide.
Yeah.
Steep learning curve, though, right? Like, once... What you would say, like, after the first week or so, typically, that's kind of the...
We start with baby steps, and by the second week, they're nailing it pretty good.
Awesome. That's cool. Just getting comfortable being in the truck, being up so high, and then when you get used to it, it's like, oh, this is pretty nice. I can see quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then feeling how the truck moves. And so just like a pool, you know, when someone learns to swim... They have to just feel the water first. And then once you feel the water, you push them in.
Yeah. Say good luck.
Say good luck, buddy. Yeah, I like that. So 2021 is when the school started. And how many instructors were there at that time? So Jeff, you were instructing.
Yeah, Jeff was there. And then we had three part-time instructors that were originally with Heartland. And... And who else?
Jeff Jackson and Mike Klein.
Mike Klein.
Yep, that was it. There was the three of us and they're three part-timers.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And then, so a lot of this, when we were approached, Nussbaum was wanting to do this to give back to the community. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know that there was much discussion even before Harlan had come over and doing something like this or not. I think when the opportunity presented itself to Jeremy initially, and as he talked to a few others, it felt like, hey, this could be a really good thing for us. And just being able to, again, give back to the community, providing an exceptional CDL program. And it could also be somewhat of a pipeline, too, right, for hiring purposes as far as that goes. We actually haven't used it a whole lot. We could probably turn it on a little bit more if we wanted, but it provides some opportunity to... for us to find some good folks out of there too.
Yeah.
From time to time.
Most definitely. So it's not really a profit center.
Right.
Like, we're not making money from this academy. Like, people aren't paying Nussbaum in order to go to the classes. They're paying Heartland, but we're partnering with them. And so I don't know how all that works, but it's not Like a lot of it is just goodwill.
Yeah, well, so we do make some money off of mm-hmm. it. I mean, we get some of the tuition as far mm-hmm. as that goes, but as far as it being a real money maker, like you said, it's not
right.
anything drastic. It's
pretty minuscule compared to the rest of the company.
Correct.
And the loads that we do.
Yeah.
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 That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, there has to be something there to keep it going.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't function. Thanks for answering. Mm. Looking at the classes today, a student comes in. I talked about this potential prospective student, me. I come in. What are some things I can expect on the length of the classes, how long it takes, how many people are in classes, the type of training you do? Is it all hands-on training? Is there in-class training? So I guess, Jeff, Brendan, Jared, you want to tackle that?
I'm going to let one of you guys talk.
Well, I can.
Let's start with the timing. Like, what is the timing of the class? How long does this take?
So the class starts every morning at, I believe, 8 a.m. and goes till 4:30. That would be primarily every day, like even behind the wheel and classroom. However, classroom will change towards mm-hmm. the end of the week as students are going to test to get their permits. So they have to do that when they can. So we kind of have to adjust the class. Jeff, honestly, could probably speak to that schedule a little bit better.
The total program is 4 weeks total. The first week is preparation for their permit. It's a pretty fast-paced program because we start Monday morning. Thursday morning, they're going to the DMV to get their permit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't waste a lot of time.
So within 4 days, you're getting your permit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have to have your permit for a certain amount of time before you can get your CDL? Or is it just until you're ready to pass?
What is the
two weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which in the grand scheme of things is a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think there's many other things, but yeah. You go ahead.
I was going to say, what are some of the topics that you hit that first week in classroom?
So the main things that they're going to have to know about when they go to the DMV is they have three separate tests to get their permit. First one's general knowledge, which is just an overall of the industry and the truck itself. And then there's combination, which is tractor and trailer. They need to know specific things about that, limitations mm-hmm. of it. And then the final one is air brakes. They need to know how air brakes work, what needs to happen for them to work properly.
Mm.
And so that's the three main things that we're going to cover in class, but we're also going to cover like hours of service regulations, everything to be DOT compliant when they actually get their CDL.
A little bit of trip planning.
Yes.
Yeah, Atlas reading, all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to hit it all. You go over all those areas, not just the how do you drive a truck and trailer, but like you said, the DOT stuff. Being compliant, hours of service. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So we've got, and then on top of that, so we have about 11 day classes, mm-hmm. and then we've got 4 night classes as
okay.
well.
Wow.
Those are Monday through Friday from 5 to 9 p.m., 2 weeks in class, and then the 6 weeks behind the wheel.
Okay.
So 4 times per year we'll have night class.
Okay, 4 times a year mm-hmm. there'll be night classes that happen. So then you'll do the first 4 weeks, two weeks. And then 6 weeks.
In class and then 6 weeks behind the wheel.
So then during the night hours, you'll come to here mm-hmm. to do your behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So then we mentioned there's the class stuff. The first week, you'll cover those different topics. They'll go get their permit. And then the next week, they're in the truck. Okay.
Yep.
And for people that don't know, where do you go to do the behind the wheel?
We run around town a lot.
Yeah.
I call it terrorizing the neighborhood. We drive around town so they get used to dealing with traffic, stoplights, and
yeah.
turns, because that's the big part of their driving test.
Mm. Yeah. It just takes time to get comfortable yeah. with that. And the best thing you can do is expose to a lot of different circumstances, and then you'll start. You meet around Nussbaum, correct?
Yes.
You'll meet out in the parking lot at Nussbaum Transportation. Even though it's a Heartland class, you'll do the classes at Heartland.
Yep.
and then come over to here.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, over by the east shop over there.
Okay. And so there's two trucks. So
three
trucks. Mm-hmm. So do you have to take turns driving, or do you?
We could take four students at a time in the truck. So there's three seats in the back for the students to sit in, and one student's in the driver's seat. He gets his time, and then he swaps out with somebody in the back. So everybody rotates through the driver's seat every day.
Okay. And these trucks are probably different when people do their permit driving for a regular four-wheeler. There's like usually the instructor has a brake. You don't have a brake on your side, I'm guessing.
Yes, or maybe do.
You do have a brake. Okay.
I do.
I'm surprised. So that's great. Which do you use the brake?
I have a couple of times, but for the most part, I try to let the student figure out what they've done and fix it on their own, because it'll stick with them more
sure.
than if I slam on the brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you notice someone doing the same mistake over and over again. How can you help that person realize what they're doing and help them correct it?
Just show them the proper way to do it, mm-hmm. and get them to practice it. It's muscle memory and practice.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes switch instructors too. Yeah. Some, like a student of yours may go into Scott or Mike's truck or Josh's truck and vice versa, just to get a, because the way he teaches something is going to be the same. The concepts anyway are going to be somewhat the same, but the approach and how they explain it, it may just click a little bit differently.
It may be worded slightly different. And so if I've got a student that I'm just not getting through to, I might put him in Scott's truck. And a couple of times during the class, we all rotate trucks anyway, so all the students get to see different perspectives. They see different instructors in the truck.
Okay.
Yep. They don't necessarily change trucks, just instructor.
Yeah, and I think that's a cool thing that stands out. I don't know how many other trucking academies do that. And you mentioned, Brendan, that you said our academy is better than anywhere else. Are there any other things that we do to help make it a better trucking academy?
Yeah, well, it starts with the instructors for sure, and their heart behind it. I think they have a genuine care and heart for each of the students and wanting them to be successful. It's very evident in their day-to-day interactions with them and our success rates and so forth. I really feel like that they go above and beyond to make sure they get all the training that they need, and that they're doing things the right way, the correct way. Obviously, it doesn't always work out with every student, but we've done pretty well over the last few years, thankfully. So, again, it starts with having the right crew of guys.
Yeah.
To being there. To do this thing,
Yeah, you really care for the students. Like, I think I've heard, did you go to one of your students' wedding or something like that?
I actually walked it down the aisle.
Really?
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Wow. Yeah. That is a pretty cool thing that the instructor would walk one of the students down the aisle to be there showing that support, like, in and outside of the classroom. Yeah. So they must have had a lot of trust for you, or...
When she was my student, she struggled and she was ready to quit, and I wouldn't let her quit. So she kind of adopted me.
She adopted you.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Yeah. So you spend a lot of time together. Like we said, it's a short time, only a couple of weeks, but in that amount of time, you're spending lots of hours in one day together. Mm-hmm. So you're able to develop a bond with your instructor and also the other classmates there. You can get to know them and why they're trucking. Speaking about the people you get to know, when you get to know students, is there anyone that surprises you? That how did they get here? How did they end up in trucking? And you might have run into this too, Brendan and Jared. What are some of those examples of someone that you just look at and it's like, how did you end up in trucking? Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, I mean, I've had lawyers, doctors, airline pilots. We just had a pilot not too long ago come through, and I asked him, why are you doing this? And he just said, I just want another tool in the box. So, that, you know. And probably the oddest one ever was I had a 92-year-old lady come through my class.
92?
Yes.
Wow.
her husband had recently passed. Mm. She was bored. It was on her bucket list. She wanted to learn how to drive a truck. So she did.
And she got her CDL.
Yes.
That is a story right there.
Yeah.
92-year-old really cool. woman gets her CDL.
Yeah.
I love that.
She That's going great. To use it, or did she just
She actually used it.
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's awesome.
That's fascinating.
She gets to a shipper, and it's she gives them fresh-baked cookies.
Yeah.
Right?
Thanks for doing business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's fun.
That is, yeah, that is a story. What about you guys? Any?
I would say I don't have anything that sticks out like Jeff does.
Yeah, I don't have that, those stories.
I know that, you know, a lot of people will come through, you know, looking for, you know, another opportunity in life. And mm-hmm. whether it be post-retirement or after they retire mm-hmm. from a place such as, yeah. like you mentioned, State Farm.
Right, I've seen that.
Or country companies or, you know, some other business, they're looking for something else to do. I know we had I forget his name, but he was a State Farm agent. He had mm-hmm. sold his business and was wow. looking to do something else and, you know, came here and started trucking. So,
yeah
you just, you run, you experience all sorts of different backgrounds as mm-hmm. far as that goes that might come through and do this.
Yeah, definitely.
Or people who are looking to, you know, maybe they didn't have much opportunity after high school and there were some ways for them to mm-hmm. be able to come on board and get their CDL. So,
yeah.
And they're just getting a fresh start at, you know, a career.
Let's make it happen. I like that. A fresh start. Trucking really does offer a fresh start. I've seen people get out of debt using trucking. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do. And do people that drive school buses, do they have to have their CDL or how does that work?
Yeah. So Class B. Yep.
Class B.
A little bit different than Class A is truck and trailer, but the Class B is going to be the...
So if you get your truck and trailer, can you go ahead and drive a school bus once you get that?
You would have to get the passenger endorsement, but you could still drive the bus on a Class A.
Okay.
Yep.
And then also people that do, like, tanker, you'd have to get a certification. So people that haul around fuel or do, like, daily trips, so maybe they're not over the road, but they're doing daily hauling.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, if you're hauling gas, I mean, you're going to have to get your hazmat endorsement. You're mm-hmm. going to have to get tanker endorsement. I don't know if I'm missing anything there, but you'll have to make sure you've got the right. There's doubles and triples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to be an LTL driver and you see those guys running up and down I-80 with three trailers, you got to have an endorsement for that,
too. Okay.
Or pulling doubles even.
I didn't even realize until I started working here, but correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe... You even have to have a tanker endorsement for certain dry van loads because if you haul enough liquid,
yes,
it counts.
It counts.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We actually haul some of those at Newsbomb.
Uh huh.
That's right.
Wow.
That was fascinating to me. I thought if it wasn't a tanker, you were good, but that's
right.
Not the case.
Not the case. You gotta be careful. How many liquid are you hauling? So then, what about you, Jared? Have you any stories
I'd echo what kind of somewhat what Brendan said because I didn't really. I don't know that I have someone that like specifically sticks out in my mind that went through the academy. There's like, I feel like there's been different stories of like people taking a step back in their career and going to trucking or taking just a different direction in general. But the thing that sticks out to me the most is I love watching individuals who did come from a, whether it's a challenge background or just, you know, weren't given much. And trucking is an opportunity where they can really take advantage of, like, especially if they're sponsored or something like that, they have an opportunity to just go to work right away. I mean, go to work learning and then actually get on with the company and really change their lives. So I feel like there's quite a few stories here, even within Newsbomb, of individuals who weren't given much and really were hard off and have turned their life around. And that's really, like, exciting to me.
Yeah.
And so I love watching those stories unfold.
Those are really cool.
Yeah.
And those people are usually the most best attitude that you work with. So grateful to be here. Like when people are given that fresh start when, you know, not having much, then those are the people that are going to have a great attitude. If they make a great truck driver, it's not for everyone.
Right.
Not everyone can do it. But when those situations work out, typically those people are have a great attitude about it and are so grateful just to be able to drive a truck.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
It does seem like some, not that others aren't, but there's some of our drivers who perform the best are, it's becoming, as NTA's got more, or it's getting older, there's more of them that went through the academy and then went through our training program and started going through Certified Red, and they become some of our most successful drivers, and that's cool to see how those programs build on each other.
Yeah.
And those relationships stick too. Like, I feel like you talk to a lot of the people, the folks you've trained over the years still.
I do. I talk to students that I had 13, 14 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they still talk to me.
That's cool.
I'm not sure why, but they do.
They like you. Yeah. And I'm sure it builds on itself each time, and maybe those people even become trainers and are now training other students.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that.
We actually have one here.
Really?
Yeah. Ernie.
Yeah.
I can't even remember his last name.
Ernest Plummer.
Ernie Plummer.
He was one of my students a long time ago.
Okay.
Now he's a trainer here.
Now he's a trainer.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's full circle.
That's cool.
I have a couple rapid fire questions just from the prospective student perspective to get us. So I'm looking at school. Here are some of the quick questions to answer. Are there any admissions requirements? To get in?
Yeah.
What are those?
Yep. So you're going to have to go contact the continuing education department over at Heartland, and they can help get the enrollment going, but need to have a clean driving record. You're going to have to go get a physical beforehand. You're going to have to get a drug test done as well. And then there's a down payment of $730 that's required before you start class, as far as that goes.
Okay.
I miss anything? Requirements?
I don't think so.
I think that's it.
And then you have to pay for the class once you're...
You can start paying on it after class is done.
After class is done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. If you don't pay for it all up front, there's... Heartland does offer some resources there, some ways to start paying for it after class is completed in that regard. They also have some sponsorships as well that some folks can qualify for, and they will help pay tuition. We have got sponsorships here as well through NUSPOM. If we feel like a person is a good fit and we want to send them through the academy to then come drive for NUSPOM after that, we may offer that to them. We pay up to half of the tuition.
Oh, wow.
And then the other half is the students to pay for.
Okay, great. So there are scholarships that you can get. Can I fail?
Yes.
Hopefully not.
but yes.
Does it happen? What's the pass rate?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. So everyone that goes through the class as of 2024 that's gone through, taking the class, passed the CDO, was right at 100%. The completion is anyone who started the class but then maybe fell off partway through for some reason, that is 90%.
Okay. So some people decide during the class, this ain't for me, I'm not going to pursue this. But those people that do finish, go through the whole 4 weeks, then it's 100%.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks to Mr. King.
Thanks, Mr. King. And a few others, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, but typically what we'll run into, though, is a student who maybe, again, when you go to the DMV, you have three chances to take. When the permit test comes around, there's three sections you got to take. You have three chances for each one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll run into students who fail three times, same section in a row, and then they've got to wait 30 days before they can go back and retest.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, we'll move them into the next class to start behind the wheel, as long as everything works out in that regard. Very seldom do we have anybody fail the actual driving portion then, as far as that goes.
So, yeah, the driving portion of the...
At the very end.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Okay. What trucks do you train on? I think we answered this already.
Got two manual trucks and one automatic truck.
Yeah. What makes a good truck driver? You could describe that in one or two words.
I don't know. It takes all kinds.
You've been driving for years. What do you mean? How long have you been in the industry?
40-ish?
Yeah.
Somebody who doesn't mind being away from home. Somebody who's a self-starter. If they got a Mm-hmm. Have somebody hold their hand all day long. It's not going to happen.
Got it.
I'm not going to make it.
So you can tell right away if someone's not sure. It's like needing extra help. It's like you have to feel confident about what you're doing. Not that you'll know everything, but at least to give it a shot, right? Someone that's willing to give it a full effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they're willing to fail to learn, then I mean they stick it out and they do good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Failure will happen. It's part of life, but
yeah. A big one is the lifestyle. That's one that's tough for a lot of people mm-hmm. coming into the industry, specifically if you're going for OTR.
Right.
Again, you're out 2 weeks at a time, maybe longer. I know we've got guys and gals out much longer mm-hmm. than that. But that can be really hard on folks, especially some of the younger folks that are coming in. They've got little kids at home, mm-hmm. and it is just – it's hard to be away.
Yeah.
And that's tough. The trucking industry, though, does offer so many opportunities. There's not just OTR. There mm-hmm. is your home daily, home every other day sort of opportunity. So you don't have to just do OTR, which is nice. But, you really have to be, for what Nussbaum does here, mm-hmm. you got to have it together pretty well, and
mm-hmm.
and like you mentioned, you got to be tough. You got to be mm-hmm. Okay with being away for a period of time,
yeah.
and trying to handle things at home, while on the road, and you're living out of truck stops and so forth. That can be really hard.
That's
it
tough.
Be tough.
Takes a toll.
Mm-hmm. And the big thing is you got to have the support from home.
Mm.
If your significant other isn't completely behind what you're doing,
right,
it will not work.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, got to have that support. So, yeah. So, realizing that it's not easy. Yes, you can make a good paycheck. What is the average pay of 2024, or now 2025, driver? What's the average pay?
It's like entry level around 70-ish thousand, I think. And maybe once you're established, I'm guessing average is in the 90s. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Low 90s, mid 90s, yeah.
Yeah, and that's good to know for those students that are considering entering this career. What would that look like? So
yeah.
It's great.
The opportunity is there if you want it. You gotta be hungry for it and utilize your time well and not be afraid to run some miles.
Yeah. Some of the feedback that I get from people is that the unknown is really difficult, of not knowing when am I gonna be back?
Yeah.
How long? When's my next trip? Where am I going next? There's a lot of unknown with truck driving, so that seems to be one of those friction points. Makes
it hard to plan unless you're on dedicated or something like that. I mean, you can speak better to that than we can, but I'm assuming that it's hard to plan anything.
It's tough to plan, because you don't know. Okay, so when I drove for Nussbaum, I was home every weekend,
mm-hmm.
but that might not be Friday. It might not be till Saturday.
Right.
So you can't plan anything for Saturday morning because you don't know if you're even going to be home.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of uncertainty there. It's tough to, and if you got little kids, you miss ball games, recitals, and everything else, and it's just tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying it's impossible. It's just really tough.
Yeah.
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 I appreciate that note. Do you have a comment, Jared?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Sorry. Looked like you had something. So I'm about to wrap this up, and I think this could be for someone that has had a bad day. They see the trailer, there is hope in troubled times. What is something that brings you hope? And if you could offer a word of encouragement for other people, I'm having a bad day. What flips your attitude around? We talk about this, purpose-driven, positive impact to other people. What does that mean? How can you be positive impacted? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yep.
What is a message of hope that you'd give for people?
Let's go first.
Go ahead.
So for me, if I'm having a crummy day or something like that, something that means a lot to me is when someone is just, when others are intentional and just checking in and so forth. It goes a long ways with individuals, and when you can just reach out and ask somebody how they're doing, mm-hmm. how are things going, even if you don't have all the answers to their whatever they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I think people really do care. They want to be noticed, mm-hmm. And know that others care as well. And I think what brings us hope, if you have a relationship, you know, mm-hmm. Jesus brings hope, you know, and he can certainly use us and others to make an impact and pour into those who need it. And but I would say being intentional with your time and just, mm-hmm. hey, how's it going? How are you doing today? What's going on? And just checking in.
Yeah, that's great. It means that's people big. Care and want to be seen and heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What brings you hope, Jeff?
I don't know, I guess if I'm having a bad day, but then I see a student catching on, that's my reward. That makes me feel better, lifts my spirits, and then I could pass that on to the next person.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool when people start to pick up and get encouraged by that. Mm-hmm. Jared?
I think I'd build on somewhat what Brendan said. Like, it's like, I think the intentional relationship piece has got to be there, right? Like, I think the Bible says you're known by the love you show towards one another, and like, for showing that love or being shown that love, I think that's like huge. And I think for me, like, when I'm struggling in whatever aspect, a lot of times if I look back at my previous few days, it's like, how's my relationship been with God? Like, mm-hmm. have I been spending intentional time in my devotions? Because that's where our hope comes from, right? So spending time there, and also I think exercise is huge. It doesn't have to be like intense exercise, but just even going for a walk or something. it's just sometimes a walk around the pond or whatever else just can clear your head a little bit. And I guess I underestimate how beneficial that is sometimes until I like take a minute and do it, and it's like, you know what, this is good.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, Jesus loves us. It's hard to see that sometimes, and it's easy to forget. So it's important when we have people that remind us that. So thank you.
How would you answer that?
I would sum it up with what you're saying there. It's Jesus loves you. He loves me so much. I think that helps change my perspective when I'm having a crummy day. I can remember it's not all about me. It's not all about Dayton or Jeff or Jared or Brendan. But he does love us so much. So, last question. This is a lighthearted question, and it's a hot take that you can agree with or disagree with. CB radios, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay, CB radio?
Yeah.
Nay.
Nay.
Yay.
I ran a CB for years.
Okay.
And they were helpful. But I get most of that information someplace else without listening to all the garbage that's on the radio. It's pretty disheartening to see what the CB has become. Mm-hmm. The last 10 years I was on the road, I didn't even run a radio.
Really?
It was just too much hate and discontent.
Yeah.
I've heard those mainly in, just with a recent conversation with Corey, that's mainly in like the Chicago, or any city, not just Chicago, but cities in general, right?
It gets worse around the metropolitan areas, it does.
Because I was just on the little driving I do, I'll have it on, and I, like, never hear people talking.
Really? It's pretty quiet.
Yeah, it's really quiet, but I don't get to, I'll go on the outskirts of Chicago at the most, and that's when I do hear something. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like from Jeff and Corey that it's more, there's not a lot of good stuff. It's either dead silent or a lot of too much, not what you want to hear.
Profanities.
And yeah.
My reason would be just for safety purposes.
Yeah.
As far as it goes, if or trying to figure out what's going on up ahead, if there's an accident or something like that. It's there's, I would agree, there's a lot of unpleasant talk on the CB radio.
It has its uses, but to me, the ugliness outweighs any usefulness.
The good stuff. So that was a hot take. I didn't know how that question would go. And it seems like it was a divisive one. So
yes.
That's the whole goal, just talk about something that's a little divisive. So thank you for answering all the questions and being great participants. Really appreciate you for being here. Thanks. Any other things you'd like to say?
No, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It's fun to be able to talk about this and share a little bit about what's going on in the academy and all these guys are doing. And
sweet.
To our other instructors that aren't here, Josh and Scott and Mike Klein, appreciate all you guys and as well and what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah, great. So. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, this is Lisa from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.